Now we want you to remember the text. If you don't remember the sermon, remember the text. It is the 6th chapter of Galatians, the 15th verse. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Neither circumcision, that's the religion of the Jews. For more than 17 centuries before that time, the only religion that the Lord had approved was the Jews' religion. And that was brought to an end. There were carnal ordinances and meats and drinks, divers baptisms imposed upon the Jews, who were Jews as natural descendants of Abraham. And remember this, that in those 1700 years, a Gentile who was saved was called a Jew. He wasn't a Jew by birth, he was a Jew by religion. He had to embrace Judaism in order to be in covenant relation with God. So the Jews and the Gentiles were Jews, religiously speaking. But those ordinances and so-called sacraments were nailed to the cross when Christ died. And he established something new. And that new thing we'll find is called one new man as we get into the scripture. But first of all, the 3rd chapter of Romans. Remember the text altogether. Where is it found? Galatians 6:15. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, that is the religion of the Jews, nor uncircumcision, the religion of the Gentiles, availeth anything with God but a new creation. So we read in the 3rd chapter of Romans. Now notice, will you? The Jews thought they were better than the Gentiles. Today the Gentiles think they're better than the Jews. Things have kind of turned around, haven't they? In the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse of Romans. What then? Are we better than they? Are the religious Jews any better than the religious Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. That's true in 1955. As well as in the year 60 AD. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now that doesn't mean that there are not some splendid, moral, upright, conscientious, sincere, religious, philanthropic, splendid people who are not Christians. Can be all of that. And let's get this fixed in our minds, something we've tried to give you time and again. It's one thing to be moral and religious. It's something different to be righteous and spiritual. Every righteous person, every spiritual person should be moral. They should not be religious. God does not want anyone today to be religious in the Bible sense of the word religion. God wants you to be spiritual and he wants you to be righteous, but not religious. The most religious people that ever lived nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross, had him nailed it. The the most religious people that ever lived, who thought they were God's religious people, stoned Stephen to death, had James the apostle killed, had Peter thrown in jail, finally had the apostle Paul martyred. The most religious creature in the universe of God is Satan. That's a surprise and a shock to some people. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. He not only is religious, but he wants to be worshipped. And there are at least 9 people on this earth who worship Satan to everyone who worships God. Satan said to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he took him up on the mountain and showed him the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time, he said, if you will get down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. Now, after the church has been taken home to glory, there's going to be a mock trinity. The beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. And the dragon is going to see that the beast and the false prophet, called the man of sin, is going to be worshipped. He's going to sit on the throne of God and show himself that he is God on the religious throne here on earth, show himself that he is God. And every person on this earth will either be put to death or they'll have to receive the mark of the beast in the hand or on the forehead. You'll never be able to buy or sell. And if you cannot see the world getting ready for that terrible condition, you must be very blind. But now notice what he said. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. Now this is the Jew and the Gentile, the circumcision and the uncircumcision. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We read in Ecclesiastes in the book of Psalms that God looked down from heaven to see if there was a sinless, just man on earth, and he found not one. To be righteous means to be altogether right with God. It means to be as right with God as Jesus Christ was, and he never sinned in word, thought, or deed. God says when we measure ourselves with others, we are not wise. If you want to measure yourself to see whether you've come short of the glory of God, find out what the glory of God is. When Isaiah got a glimpse of the glory of God, he says, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I live in the midst of an unclean people. Then he wrote, and you remember what he said? The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib. What my people do not know. And he said, from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, we are filled with putrefying sores. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Then he says in the 19th verse, for the circumcision, we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith them to who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Now why did God give the 10 commandments? To make the Jew in his time and the Gentile in this time. He was saying so much, shut your mouth. Don't tell me you're not so bad, that you're good enough for heaven, that you can get into heaven without my righteousness, without the blood of Jesus Christ. Shut your mouth. Go to the Ten Commandments and see what they demand. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor thyself. Not one person on this earth ever did that but the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to get to heaven apart from the grace of God and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, you'll have to be as perfect in your conduct, in your thinking, in your speaking, as was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. You were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. So he said, by the law let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. So he can see why circumcision does not avail anything. Because the law in the Old Testament was the Jews' schoolmaster to bring them to Christ to be justified by faith. So we have in the 24th verse that we are justified by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his Son Jesus Christ. He was made under the law. He was tempted by Satan. He never sinned. He was tested by the world. He never sinned. Sin is a transgression of the law. And he was made under the law and tempted under the law, but he never sinned. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Think of the idiot, and it is a real idiot, deceived by Satan, who thinks that he or she can get to heaven by practicing the Sermon on the Mount, or struggling with the Ten Commandments. The Golden Rule says this: whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do even unto them, for on this hangs the law. That's not grace, that's the law. Nobody ever kept the Golden Rule but the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how few people will testify with Paul here when he says in the 7th chapter of Romans, listen, the 18th verse, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. As Christ said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 8:8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. No natural child of Adam, however religious, you can take the natural man and educate him. When we think today, as someone has truly said, with 9 out of 10 of our state universities, we can send our Christian children there, pay taxes for their education, and if they're not well grounded, they'll make infidels out of them. They said over in the foreign field, we send our Christian missionaries to teach the heathen in the day schools. Over here, we send our Christians to the heathen professors in our state universities. And they deny all the fundamentals of the faith. And they'll do everything they can to rob you of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now then, what's the answer? The answer is found in the 2nd chapter of Ephesians. The answer is in Ephesians 2. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That puts the lie to the teaching today that we're all the children of God. We're all the offspring of God in that we've all descended from Adam, but we're under a universal law of sin and death. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We are the children of Satan by natural degeneration and generation. By nature, the children of wrath. You remember the 8th chapter of John when those very religious men, many of them the rulers in the church at that time, said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "We are God's children." He said, "No, you are the children of Satan. You are the children of Satan. And if you're not a child of God by regeneration, you're a child of Satan by degeneration, according to the word of God. Let God be true and let every man be a liar." And hear what God says in his book. You must be born from above. Now notice. God, who is rich in mercy, but. Now that's one of the 13 but gods in the Bible. Oh, how wonderful they are. But God. Now if there's any hope, it must be from above. You remember, about 500 years after God gave the commandments, thou shalt and thou shalt not, David in the 119th Psalm said, "It is time for thee to work, O God, for the people have broken thy law." If anybody's going to be righteous and get into the kingdom of God, it'll not be by man's doings, it'll be by divine doings. Two men went up in the temple to pray. One of them said, "I thank thee, Lord, I'm not like other men. I keep your commandments." He was lying. He was deceived by Satan, and he went down condemned. The other man would not so much as lift up his head. He smote himself on the breast, and he said, "Lord, I can't keep your commandments. But I'm willing to meet you at the blood-sprinkled mercy seat that speaks of the death of Jesus Christ." And he went away justified. And we read in the 13th of Acts that through this man Jesus Christ has preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by Jesus Christ all who believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And when you find out, as we've written in this last book entitled The All-Sufficient, Much More Overabounding Grace of the God of All Grace, and find that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, and learn the meaning of Romans 3:24-28, that we're justified without a cause by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We learn that at the moment we come by faith to Calvary and meet the Lord there, all our sins are pardoned and put away. We stand in the presence of the Holy God as though we'd never committed one sin in word, thought, or deed. And immediately God imputes His own divine, unimpeachable, perfect righteousness, and it's yours. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You must have righteousness, God's righteousness, before you can ever get into heaven. Now notice how you get it. Now notice what he says in the 5th verse. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath God made us alive together with Christ. He hath raised us up together and made us sit down together in the heavenlies in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace were you saved." This is in the past tense. "For by grace were you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." Not of yourself. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God. God is not a merchant offering you righteousness and salvation and eternal life for sale. If he did, you couldn't buy it. You couldn't deserve it. You could never merit it. You could never have it. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's an immortal, eternal King. And he knew the predicament of the human race. He knew that by Adam sin passed upon all men and death. He knew that you were by nature the child of wrath. He knew that because of indwelling sin you could not be righteous by your own doing. Well, God is not only a just and a holy and a righteous judge, but he's a merciful, long-suffering Savior. And before he would judge you for that for which you are not responsible, he provided the way of escape. He hath not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. He remembereth our frame that we're dust. And he says, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will convict the world of sin. What sin? Not adultery, not murder, not being drunk. He'll convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. In the final analysis, we do not go to eternal perdition because of drunkenness or immorality or ungodliness. We go there because of that, but in the final analysis, we go there because we do not accept the remedy. And the remedy is the shed blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. And if you come by faith to Calvary right now, God, for Christ's sake, will forgive you all your sins. We've had several thousand people saved since I've been here for 32 years, and I want to tell you that 92% of them are members of churches. And you can't go to heaven by joining a church. This is the way you go to heaven. Listen. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And notice what happened. He says in the 15th verse, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments, that which belonged to the Jews, for to make in himself of the twain one new man, making peace, that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross. Not by the Sermon on the Mount, not by the Ten Commandments, not by your philanthropy. My, their people are proud of their red feather. You ought to give to all of these things. That's wonderful. But you can give all of that and 10 times more, and you can be gentle and patient and kind and gracious and trustworthy and honorable and moral and religious and go to hell just the same as the drunkard does. There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what do we have to do? Why, before we can work for God, we must be worked upon by God. Well, what did the earth do? What did anything do? There was a time when this building wasn't here. There was a time when there wasn't even space. Can you imagine the time when there wasn't even space? There was a time when there were no stars, there were no flowers, there were nothing. God was able to hang the earth and the world on nothing. There wasn't anything except God and the third heaven. And God and his Son were in their third heaven, whatever God's throne is. And out of nothing, God created. And if you and I are new creatures in Christ Jesus, you've got to come to the place where you say, I'm nothing before God will ever do anything for you. As long as you think you're something, you'll go to hell. When you find out that you're nothing, and just let God take you and make a new creature out of you. And he'll do it. God will have all men to be saved, but in his way, not your way. That which is highly esteemed, said Christ, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above yours. What do you read in the 32nd chapter of Isaiah? The lame take the prey. Will the lame take the prey here? You some poor poverty person in poverty. You go out against the financial trusts of this country. You go out against the political forces and power. Go out against the wisdom of this world and see if you find out that the lame takes the prey. Will the lame take the prey? Over where the lions and the tigers are in the sea, The whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. And it's a case of the survival of the fittest. But what has God done? God took 12 unlettered men and upset civilization with 12 apostles who had never were fishermen and tax gatherers. God has chosen the weak and the foolish things of the world, confound the wise and the mighty. That's the reason I'm preaching. Thank God I can qualify. I spent 17 years in business. People call me a fool. I came to the place where I was making a real success in life. I walked away from a large income at that time and took a church for $150 a month with a wife and 5 children. They called me a fool. I was a fool, but I was a fool for Christ's sake. And you're somebody's fool. If you're not a fool for Christ's sake, you're a fool for Satan's sake. Don't you forget it. God has chosen the weak and the foolish things to confound the word, the wise and the mighty. Now, how do you become a new creature? You remember what Jeremiah did? The Lord said, "Arise, Jeremiah, and go down to the potter's house." And just as Jeremiah reached the potter's house, you ever been to a potter's house? I want to speak about it sometime because I lived in Old Mexico and nothing fascinated me more than going to the potter's house. Out in front they have their display room. And then right back of that they have their factory. And they're very crude, just a few wheels, you know. And the man that time ran it with his foot. Then right outside was the potter's field where the broken vessels went. That's where Judas went, and that's where you're going if you don't accept Christ. And the Lord said about Judas, it had been far better if he had never been born. I want to say to you, my dear friends, and I say it with the authority of God's word, it would have been better if 2,500,000 people in the Chicago area had never been born. If you're not going to heaven, it would have been far better if you'd never been born. Well, anyhow, he went down to the potter's house. And just as Jeremiah walked in, that potter had a vessel. And it was marred in the potter's hand. And the potter took the same clay, and he put it back on the wheel again, and he made a beautiful vessel. And the Lord said, "Jeremiah, did you get your lesson? The children of Adam are represented by the broken vessel. And I am the potter, and I can do with every broken vessel what that potter did with the clay. I can make you over." And God predestinated that we should be conformed to the image of His Son. And when God works on you, He has a picture of Christ in front of Him. So you're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So you have to be a new creature. You cannot mix grace and works and faith for salvation. If it's one or the other, we're told in Romans 11:6, it's not the other. If you want to be saved by doing, then don't mix faith and grace with it. Just go by justice to Sinai and get the Ten Commandments. And when you get there, it says, "Cursed is everyone that continued not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." No wonder there was thundering and lightning, and the people said, stood afar off and said, Don't let God speak to us anymore," they said to Moses. They stood afar off, and that's as near as you can get to God by the law. But Jesus Christ died that we might be brought nigh to God by His precious blood. And if you're willing, like Paul did, to turn away from Sinai to Calvary, God, for Christ's sake, will forgive you every sin that you've ever committed. And you just yield yourself like a drowning man, and you leave it up to God. My dear friends, you can't create yourself any more than you could create the world or an inanimate thing. You can't create yourself. You must be a creature of God, created as God's workmanship. Then go to work. You're created then unto good works. And never stop. Never stop for a moment. Let God have every ounce of your strength, every moment of your time. Give Him everything you have. But all that you ever will not have anything to do with your getting into heaven. You're going to heaven as a sinner saved by grace. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're recreated. Now you're a new creature. And out of all these new creatures, God's making one new man. You know, the only people on this earth who are alive from the dead are the members of the body of Christ. And oh, if people would talk more about the body of Christ than about my denomination, my church. Thousands of people in the denomination. Poor lady called me up Monday morning. She'd heard the broadcast, just reading one of the books. And she says, I was brought up in the Lutheran church. I was baptized as a little baby. I was confirmed. And she says, I'm not saved. I want to be saved. And my preacher doesn't know how to tell me how to be saved. She began to cry like a baby. There, a woman in the church for years, have to tell her how to be saved. Oh, God, stir us as Christians to see the condition of the lost, condemned, hell-bound church members all over the country. My dear friend, if you haven't been saved, why don't you let the Lord save you right now? Will you let Him save you? Would you like to start with the Lord as a new creation?